It's time for Jason Wilde on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
The best three-man segment on 94.5 ESPN all week long. Brian Bulaga and Jason Wilde talking, and I do my job listening. I'm very good. All right, because he's so nice, the doctor of football, Brian Bulaga, always starts the show.
Jason, good evening. How are you?
He just makes this so awkward, doesn't he? Like, he can't help himself. It's always got to be awkward with this guy.
I mean, he's Homer, man.
Come on, let's get to the stuff. Exactly. Let's get to the info, you guys. Come on.
All right, sorry.
It's July 10th. What could you possibly have that's more pressing than your unique brand of introducing this segment?
Hold on. I'll have to just do one thing in here. You got this huge fight between the union. I suggest every leader in the union, the big star, should be fired. J.C. Treader's a huge part of it, was the leader. Now it's a separate role. You know the person. We discussed it for how long, Dr. Football? 20-some minutes. What is going on, and shouldn't the leadership automatically be fired for lack of informing their players unless a piece of information has been left out? Next.
Yeah, no, so you've solved this, so I don't even really have to chime in, I guess.
No, I want to know what you think. You know the stuff, these people.
Well, I covered J.C. Treader as a player. I don't know him, you know, personally the way Brian does, and I don't want to, you know, I don't know what his role has become. You know, he was obviously among the player portion of their leadership. He was the head honcho, but DeMaurice Smith had been the head of it, and now they replaced him with this guy that I was reading about this morning. First of all, look, I feel like conflicts of interest are fairly obvious, fairly simple, and anytime you try to ignore them, you get what you deserve, which is you get bit in the butt. And this guy should not be in charge of the he's got a conflict of interest. He shouldn't be in charge of the Players Association. And more importantly, I don't know when the NFLPA is ever going to get its collective you-know-what together, but my goodness, man, like, you lose every negotiation. You never really hold out for the things that matter the most. Now we've got this impasse with all these agents who, for a change, are the real agents of change here, trying to get all the second-round picks contracts fully guaranteed. It's only 4 out of the 32, the last time I looked, had been signed. Like, the NFL owners, they have the advantage on absolutely everything. They get municipalities to pay for their stadiums. They don't have guaranteed contracts for their players. They collude. They get away with all this stuff. They don't give players what they should give them in collective bargaining in terms of long-term health care. They cover up concussion issues. Like, the NFL is the Teflon league, and my issue is to capitulate as the union. I mean, how on earth do you agree to keep the findings of this collusion arbitration private? Like, I don't understand what they're doing over there. And Brian, if I was a player, I would just be exasperated by the fact that my leadership gets its ass kicked by the NFL every single time, and they always seem to give in.
I mean, I'm 100%, and like I said to Homer, you know, before you got on, this is like the time, if this report dropped, this is the time where you need all your $40 million plus guys in the league to stand up right now and go, this is it. Like, this isn't us. Like, this is ridiculous. Those guys aren't the guys that need the help, right? Like, the guys that are making 40 plus a year, those aren't the guys that need the help, but those are the guys that need to stand up and, you know, and really help everyone else out here. Because those are the guys that have the pull in the locker room. They have the pull with the national media. They have the pull with the teams. And they're the ones that move the needle. So those are the guys right now that need to stand up to the union and go, this guy needs to go. There's no questions asked. He needs to go. All the player reps, it's two-thirds, can meet right now over a Zoom call and go, he's done. Like, so he's out. Like, I believe that's the constitution of the union. I'd have to triple check, like I told Homer. I think that's still the way it goes. Or the executive committee could meet over a Zoom call and they could do it, I think. So, like, or those guys.
Or, Brian, this guy could just resign, which is what he should do.
Yes.
That's the bottom line. Like, it shouldn't have to come to that. He should just resign and admit that I should have never taken – look, I get it, right? Nobody roots for the media. I get it. But this is the kind of stuff – and kudos to Don Van Natta and Kalen Kaler for doing this story, because obviously ESPN is a big partner of the NFL. They've obviously got their games on their network. It's a huge piece of what ESPN, the big ESPN, does. And kudos to them for still doing real journalism on this, because the players, I'm just so, and I understand, right? Fans root for color jerseys. They don't necessarily root for specific players, and they certainly have no problem when one player leaves, they just find a new favorite player. I get all of that. But I'm just so tired of players always getting the short end. And no one, you know, the pushback I always get is, well, they're millionaires. Yeah, that's true. But instead you root for the billionaires who always win and always get their way, even if they have to cheat to do it. Like, this is exasperating. I would be so mad if I was a player, because, again, it has come to the surface because those reporters dug further into the executive in charge of the NFLPA because of the collusion decision. And the fact that they, why on earth would you agree to keep it private? Why would you do that?
Exactly.
What are you getting in exchange? You're not getting guaranteed contracts. Like, here's the example I used this morning. Like, this is exactly, and I understand you guys get signing bonuses. And again, I'm not asking for everyone to feel, oh, poor NFL players with their millions of dollars. I get it. There's people, you know, as my close friends used to say, that my dad, the dads of my friends who, you know, worked at Harnischfeger and Alice Chalmers, and the guys that worked their asses off as, you know, middle-class Milwaukeeans. Those are the guys that work hard. I get it. I'm not asking for sympathy toward players. But given the billions upon billions of dollars that the league makes, this is why stupid stuff like not adjusting Elgton Jenkins' contract after you publicly said he's an all-pro player at center, that's the stuff that really, I'm supposed to stay unbiased, but I don't understand that. Like, just do the right thing by a player that you see as a core player. These are such minuscule things in the big picture, and the NFL always gets away with not doing them. And I just find it so exasperating.
I couldn't agree more.
I do want to put a word in for J.C. Treader, because I think the only thing that really matters is percentage of revenue. And when he took over, it was 45. Now it's 48.8. I mean, really, isn't it the biggest amount that matters to everyone? How much money do we get? How much money is coming to us? Right?
Right. But again, I think there's other aspects too. You're right. That is certainly better. And I'll predict this. I bet the owners try and take some of that back on the next negotiation. They're not going to say, now let's go 50-50.
They'll go to 18 games, and the union will demand 50%.
Yeah. And then we'll have a strike.
Yep.
Yeah, they won't get it.
They won't get it?
They won't get 50%. They won't get 50%.
No.
Not a chance.
No. Nope, I would agree.
No, the union, and listen, and Jason knows this too, because this is how this always goes. The union will ask for, like, no offseason. Like, that's what it'll come down to.
Jeff Saturday, yeah. Oh, no more of this contact. I mean, let's do everything at quarter speed or half speed. And chalk those up as wins. I just, and look, the other part of this, you just mentioned it, Brian, a few minutes ago. The people that have to do this are the guys that have the most sway, the most juice. Because the reason why the Players Association always loses, or one of the reasons, is that there are guys at the bottom of the roster that need the paycheck. They can't actually, because again, whether you're Elgton Jenkins in the offseason.
And lots of them.
Right. Or Zach Tom, or rank and file, you know, number 40 to 53 on the roster. Those are the guys that the only thing that they have is withholding their services, and they can only withhold their services for so long, right? Those guys, yep. if there were to be a lockout or a strike, that always is the ultimate cudgel that the NFL owners have to work with, because sooner or later, those guys are going to cave. And there has to be a way for these high-profile, multi-million-dollar players to understand that and figure out a way to somehow, and I'm not saying that we're turning to communism here or anything, but subsidize those players so they can stand firmer for a little while longer, so you can get the things you want for the long term, both for you and your career and the players that come after you, because they always lose.
Well, that was the whole point, Jason, during, you know, I mean, we heard it during the entire, before the last CBA, we're building this war chest for players. We're putting money, they were taking money out of our paychecks to build a war chest for guys for the off season, right? For the, collecting money for this war chest. And what happened? We signed a deal that was bad and no war chest money was even distributed. Like, right. it was like, what are we doing? So we took money out of guys' paychecks getting ready for this thing, and nothing happened. And it was kind of like, well, I don't understand. If we're going to do this, like, let's do it. Like, if we're going to take money out of guys' checks, which, listen, if we're going to fight for the greater good and we're going to make sure guys, like you said, at the bottom of rosters that need this money to make it through offseason and maybe even longer – hey, that's fine with me. Is if we're going to get the better end of this deal, let's do right. it. No one like let's do it, but like don't talk about it. Like let's do it then, right? Like I mean, like
I hate to interrupt this because I was told there's nothing to talk about in July. So you guys have proven as a team that that's not the case. You've talked brilliantly about it, but we've run out of time. Jason,
well, Jason and I, we have time. We have time to talk about it tomorrow because I'm on with Jason.
We do.
And guess who's on at 10:30 with the two of you? The greatest listener ever.
Oh,
I think. They haven't told you yet? I thought they gave you 48 hours warning when I was on. Maybe I got bad information, or maybe you'll fire me.
No, you're on.
Go ahead, Jason. Fire me right now. You don't have to be on at 10:30. Go ahead. Say it, Jason.
No, you will have every opportunity to be awkward at 10:30 like you are. Around 5:20 every Thursday. All right, guys,
take
care.
As
be
a compliment.
Good.
Thanks, Jason. Next.